Hello, I'm Royce Gomez, founder of Royce Talks, and have been recognized as a leading authority for coaching and training entrepreneurs and executives, speaking to audiences ranging from 20 to over 1,000. As the author of two new books, The Secrets of Leadership, Leading to Your Maximum Potential, and 27 Secrets of Marketing, Your Ticket to Maximum Revenue, which is endorsed by Kevin Harrington, Brian Tracy, and others, I have contributed to several online publications. For over two decades, I've effectively coached successful business owners and written content for hundreds of companies. Today, here on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory, we are talking to Kate Perdoni. Kate Perdoni is the producer and director at Rocky Mountain PBS. She is an Emmy-nominated producer and director and very talented in the arts. Kate has served on the City of Colorado Springs Public Art Commission, Public Art Master Plan Committee, and Executive Director of the Pikes Peak Arts Council. She has also served on the Advisory Council of the Youth Documentary Academy. Kate was named a 2017 Colorado Springs Business Journal Rising Star and received a 2018 Next Wave Leadership Award from a financial institution association. She is very talented as an artist, mother, writer, and rock musician. So we have a lot of background to cover in a very short time frame. And I want to welcome Kate now. Kate, hello, and thanks for being on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory.
Good morning, Royce. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I gave a snippet of your background, but my listeners would love to get to know you and hear a little bit more in depth about your background and how you got started in the arts. So would you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And the arts are the perfect mechanism for self-expression, and I think self-expression and finding myself was something I recognized at a very young age that would need to be possible in order to lift myself out of depression and anxiety and a lot of things that I experienced as a young child. So the arts really throughout my life has been a vehicle for discovering myself and expressing kind of the unexpressible to the world. Through music and writing, I've really been able to find a voice that I didn't have when I was a kid. And to me, you know, the intersection of vocation and passion and community engagement and all of the things that I get to do with my life are very special in that the connectivity that I feel to my community and myself is a representation of hope, really. And my whole life I've been really fascinated by other people's passions. Again, at a young age, I needed to know that things could be better because there wasn't really evidence that that was going to happen, that things were going to turn around. And whenever I heard an adult talk about something they were passionate about and I saw them light up, I became alive. And so I remember as a young kid just soaking up, you know, the passion that I saw from my teachers and mentors and kind of alchemizing it into my own ability to see that the future could be something special. So all of this self-discovery via following my passion is kind of the forerunner of my personal development and the heart of my story. But as a child, I experienced a lot of impacts to my life that caused me to grow up rather quickly, whether it's being in the wrong place at the wrong time, poverty, abuse, big life changes that I did not have control over. And because of the weight of what I carried as a child, I felt very alone. I was depressed and had, you know, debilitating and overwhelming anxiety and stress from the time I was very, very young. I think now it would be labeled as PTSD. And, you know, when I look at my son, who is 7, it really freaks me out because at his age and younger, I was waking up from night tremors and sobbing through my days. And by the time I was maybe in third grade, I was in the midst of, like, serious legitimate depression. It wasn't just being an emotional kid or being overstimulated or moodiness. I was you know, I was suicidal, and it was devastating, you know, to have these realizations as my sons around that age, to look at him and think of myself as a little girl going through that alone. And so predictably, by the time I was 13, 14, I was drinking, smoking pot, I was doing drugs. I was an overachiever and a perfectionist at the same time, but I turned to drugs and alcohol to really cope with my reality. And all my friends were labeled at risk, and teachers would often pull me aside and ask me, why are you hanging out with those kids, as if their, you know, problems and their behavior was a reflection of me, and as if they weren't kids, you know, like they were bad people or something. But I also thought taking risks was what life was all about, and I didn't necessarily go about that in all of the kindest or gentlest of ways, but I think if you're willing to take a risk, you just have to say, is this a risk of something great or a risk of something stupid? That was definitely a qualifier, and I was definitely walking the line. But I thought, since I was an overachiever, I could get away with a lot, and I did. But I definitely used drugs and alcohol to cope with depression and stress, and it took me many, many years to get out of that. So in all of that time, you know, music and writing were really my connecting points to humanity and reality. I recognized that, you know, I had the power in my hands to make my life meaningful in the midst of all that I was going through. And, you know, inherent meaning was not necessarily a given. Meaning was, you know, like having a life of meaning is kind of a moving target, and it depended on a lot of variables that I did not feel like I had control over. And so, in your question to the arts, I think, again, a lot of my writing and songwriting and becoming a musician, and that was all ways to try to express kind of the storm that was within me.
Yeah, you've mentioned so many things that people struggle with: anxiety and depression and suicidal tendencies, and masking all those feelings with drugs and alcohol. And I think that our listeners can very well relate to that. Now, you know, I just finished a singer-songwriter series on this podcast, and something that is almost inherent in the music world is the overuse of drugs and alcohol. So share how your band tied into that journey for you, and share the name and genre of the band so our listeners can go ahead and look for your music online as well.
Sure. I've been in band since I was a teenager. I traveled and toured with a band named Eros and Eschaton for many years on Barn Run Records, and now I'm currently in a band called Spirits. It is an all-female rock and roll band. Very empowering, and it's interesting, kind of by accident, none of us in Spirits are drinkers, and so it's kind of a twist on the typical rock and roll story, I think a lot of musicians, as you mentioned, want to cope in with their stress and what their, you know, their hypersensitivity that they experience throughout life. And you're not necessarily given avenues that are, like, acceptable to do that. Vulnerability is seen as a weakness. You know, a lot of the things we're talking about here are typically interpreted by our society as weaknesses, but I never thought that they were. I always thought vulnerability and even depression and anxiety were, I don't want to say positive, but they give you the full breadth of human experience. And so from a young age, I knew that a lot of things were possible, because if you can be so depressed and if you can also experience joy, then the world that holds both of those things is a fascinating place. And also in our society, when you overcome those things, your story is usually based around kind of the soft points of what you used to be compared to who you are now. And so we don't really ever get over it. And I'm really excited that our cultural narrative in America around vulnerability seems to be changing, and that our society does recognize that overcoming struggle doesn't make you a perpetual victim, but it leads to resilience and often brilliance. And that's, to me, where the music comes into play. I recognize, you know, with myself and so many of my nearest and dearest, that music was that, you know, sort of socially acceptable avenue to channel these thoughts and feelings and emotions that are just typically not discussed. And
great message, Kate. Let me dive in a little deeper with that thought that you just shared of how adversity doesn't have to hold us back, but it can create persistence and just an empowering message for others. And you mentioned that the Spirettes have a very empowering message. Can you share a little bit about how those songs are created?
Yeah, I'd love to. So as I mentioned, it's five women, myself and Kelly Palmblad. We both play guitar and sing, and the two of us do the majority of the songwriting. Typically songs that we get started and bring to the group and then kind of flesh out musically. We'll often dream up arrangements and kind of have an idea of our direction. But one of the things we love doing as a band is we can really hone in and recognize what everybody's great at. And so Kelly and I often will write songs that demand a really complex and creative drum line because we have like the most amazing drummer ever, Emily Gould, and we have a cellist, Lisa, who also is an incredible vocalist. Everybody in the band sings. And then our bass player, Desi Garcia, who is very active also in the Colorado music scene. So everybody is so nuanced and so talented that we love to kind of write to that. And a lot of our subject matter with our songs has to do with sort of rebuilding, the kind of the phoenix rising from the ashes. A lot of the subject matter deals with things that we all, as women and just as members of, you know, the particular culture that we live in, have had to overcome. There are a lot of messages of hope. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of perseverance in the messages. And it's an arena where it's okay to say, this is what happened to me. And by somehow for me, by like, really like wearing an electric guitar and getting into that zone and just the release and the freedom that I feel by creating music with these women is healing in and of itself. So we're talking about really difficult subject matter a lot of times. It's really painful. And it's sometimes it's hard to sing these songs without tearing up if you really think about what they're about. And it's something we get to share with each other and connect on. Again, both as women, but really just as members of this rapidly changing society.
Wow, if that's not inspiring enough to go pull up your music on all the Spotify and YouTube channels and everything, I don't know what is. Now, I really think that message will resonate with many of our listeners, so I don't want to forget to ask this at the end of the show, so I'm going to ask it now, Kate. Where can they download your music?
Sure. We have an EP on Spotify that we created about a year ago. So our band is Spirettes. It's S-P-I-R-E-T-T-E-S. So it's Spirettes, and then it's kind of like the French diminutive, E-T-T-E-S, you know, just kind of a clever feministic wordplay. We're on Spotify and all the other, you know, digital channels. We did a recording with Colorado Public Radio last year. That's on YouTube. And that's all as a three-piece because we've only kind of recently within the last few months become a five-piece. So we will be hitting the studio again, hopefully early 2019, to record our next big project.
Oh, how exciting. We will have to keep our listeners posted when that comes out. Well, you have accomplished so much, and I want to go into where life is at for you now. But before I do go into that segue, let me take just a moment to thank our sponsors, because without them, Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory would not be possible. So I first want to thank Pivot Business Consulting. Pivot Business Consulting facilitates training and coaching in leadership development, team communication, team building, and process improvement. Intern Pursuit, a subsidiary of Pivot, matches students to employers with an algorithm much like Match.com, using assessments and helping employers document interns' tasks. Contact Pivot Business Consulting at 321-422-2166 or online at pivotbusinessconsulting.com. My second sponsor is Veru Virtual Assistants. Being a business owner and entrepreneur comes with an insurmountable amount of tasks and often leads to overwhelm, frustration, and burnout. Cue Veru Virtual Assistants. We come in as a unique team member to complete tasks as they are given, providing round-the-clock assistance, quick turnaround, and high-quality work. Here at Veru, we'll make being an entrepreneur fun again. Delegate your workload so you can focus on what really matters in your business, growing. You can contact Veru Virtual Assistants at 360-797-5676 or virtualassistantsru.com. And if you'll notice, my sponsors come from two different area codes. Thrive, a Woman's Journey to Victory, is heard in all 50 states, and about 20% of our audience is in international locales such as Australia, the UK, Italy, Poland, and India. So I am so excited that Kate Perdoni and her story is heard around the world, and I want to get back to her story and share what she's up to now. Now, Kate, there was so much in your bio and so many accolades that I actually got tongue-tied going through it. How did you start to get recognized as a rising star and the next wave of leaders and just really impact your community at such a great level in your young years?
Did you say how is that? How does that happen?
You've accomplished so much. How's this all come about in your career?
I think a lot of it is just that I am super passionate about what I do, and I'm in my zone and my niche of life, and I am truly living my dream reality when it comes to my vocation. My work is my life, and not in a bad way. Like, I love what I do, and I love using what I do, the arts and creativity, as a vehicle to connect with people. And I think, honestly, just this, again, this cultural shift that we're experiencing, people resonate with that experience. People are hungry for that. They want that connection. And so I think it's not just a recognition of me, and also a recognition of just where we're at as a culture. You know, it was when I won the Colorado Business Committee, or when I was awarded the Colorado Business Committee for the Arts EY Next Wave Leadership Award this year, that was really a big stake in the ground for me, because I recognized that I was not getting this award for pretending to be somebody that I'm not. I was not getting this award for not being this tattooed, music-making, television-producing, you know, weirdo. Like, they were saying, we like who you are, we appreciate what you're doing. Like, it may sound silly, but it was one of the first times in my life where I really stopped and recognized, that's me. You know, they're giving this award to me, not to somebody that I'm trying to be, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a real recognition that I can be celebrated for who I am, which is not something that I ever have really felt able to embrace throughout most of my life, living in depression and anxiety, et cetera. There aren't a lot of moments where I'm, like, really necessarily, like, gung-ho about, you know, what I've been through, or, I mean, I am. Maybe that's the wrong thing to say, but anyway, this was just a real mark for me that I was being recognized for no less or no more than who I showed up as every day, and that the world is paying attention to that sort of, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of community stewardship, and the sort of relationships that I have been known to create. There's a lot of things that I do in my community that are hard, and they're struggles because of the political spectrum, because of, you know, the certain emphasis that is placed on particular sects of the community over others. You know, the arts is something that's easy to uplift, and it's easy to promote, and it's not easy to fund, and it's not easy to really get the right people in the room all the time who can contribute in a way that's necessary. So it's not easy work. And the methodology by which I've gone about it has been, I am an artist and I am bringing that to the table. And so this was kind of like just a mini spotlight on the fact that communities that are trying really hard to integrate all those different types of creative and artistic individuals it can work and it can be celebrated. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but I think this is just a time. It's just that time in our world.
No, I must say it was the perfect answer for my question, and I have to acknowledge you for both your authenticity and your passion, Kate, because, you know, I probably know 50% or less of my guests personally on the level of friends, and you happen to be one of those. And I do acknowledge you for always being who you are and showing passion in everything you do, and it inspires me and others around you, and I've seen it live, and I just thank you for that and for who you're always being in your community.
Thanks, Rose. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I always like to ask a couple of tips for those that are listening that you could share that they can accomplish what you've been able to accomplish in your life and enjoy their vocation and feel recognized in their communities. And I think that this interview is filtered with tips throughout and your wisdom. And I wish I would have been taking notes so I could actually have quoted you back. But are there a couple of things that you would share explicitly in bullet points that stand out as tips that you could provide to our listeners to be able to enjoy where they're at and truly find fulfillment and authenticity in what they do?
Yeah, well, the first one that comes to mind is a little more esoteric, but, you know, I feel really privileged to have a really strong North Star, and my intuition is something that I hone. And although I question it sometimes, I'm always shown that I shouldn't. And so I know that everyone listening knows that little voice, knows that, you know, pain in their, you know, physical system, and knows their body response to certain situations or certain opportunities. And so I would just encourage folks to follow that North Star. Times that I've ignored it when I knew that I shouldn't, I have had to make up for that, and I've had to answer to that. And the other thing is, I always do what I'm terrified to do. You know, I'm quick to say, yes, I'd love to do that speaking engagement, or yes, I'd love to double down on my, you know, television production this year. And then when I turn the corner and recognize what I've signed up for, I'm often terrified. And that's where I kind of personally know that I'm going to grow the most, when I'm out of my comfort zone and when I'm really pushing myself. So when you feel fear, don't run from it. Recognize that that is where you are going to do the most self-growth and really, you know, bust out of whatever limitation you may not even know you've self-imposed. So fear to
me,
that kind of panic, it's like, of course, I'm going to be fearful, but it's like, that's when I know that I really need to do that thing. And then, I don't know, like, for me also, what's really emerged this year that's created such a beautiful synergy in my life is I just feel so blessed by my coworkers at Rocky Mountain PBS. I work with an amazing team that I get autonomy and legitimacy and an incredibly interwoven, you know, community of talent in every department. And I know you can choose your job based on that. It's hard to know all of that going into a new job or a new arena. And so I just feel really lucky. I think I've worked really hard this year to further cultivate and show up with authenticity and transparency in my work environment to better our whole cause. And I think that's been a major, just every single day I feel blessed to work with the people that I work with, and I don't take it for granted. I've gotten my own personal stuff out of the way to really listen to people and open up and be the best teammate that I can, and I really think that's what stands behind my progress.
That's awesome. Well, I know you've given us a glimpse of what's next in your world, and I know there's one thing you're up to that you've not mentioned yet, and we're down to the last couple of minutes. So briefly, Kate, can you tell us about the new album going to the studio in 2019 and your documentary?
Yay, yes. And so I mentioned I work for Rocky Mountain PBS. So I'm a television producer, which means I get to, and director and editor. So I take the equipment out to the field. I get to interview artists and all kinds of folks all the time, bring it back to my personal studio here at work and put together stories and segments and documentaries about great people, history, arts, creatives. I'm lucky to host the show Arts District, which is a weekly episodic series on Rocky Mountain PBS. Folks can watch that anytime for free at rmpbs.org/artsdistrict. And then I also work on the Colorado Experience documentary program, which is our kind of regional response to the PBS series American Experience. And this year I was given leeway, I was told that I could produce a documentary about anything I wanted in the Pikes Peak region, and immediately chose Fannie Mae Duncan, who is a pioneering African-American entrepreneur and businesswoman who lived in Colorado Springs for many years. She is the granddaughter of slaves, the daughter of tenant farmers, was the first child in her family born outside of servitude in 1918 in Oklahoma, made her way out to Colorado Springs with her family in the early 30s, was the first child to graduate from high school in 1938, and went on to become a business owner, paving the way. She received the first business license for an African-American and a woman at that, shortly out of high school, well, when she was about 25, 26, and then went on to open up a legendary jazz venue called the Cotton Club, which was the first integrated establishment in Colorado Springs in 1948. And you think African-American women could not vote in America until 1946. And so this woman was absolutely a trailblazer. She met adversity and had to, you know, just come to, just rise to the occasion, essentially, in every arena in life. And when she was successful in her business and was able to maintain that integrated establishment, it was totally revolutionary for Colorado Springs. So for 30 years, she brought the likes of Duke Ellington, Lionel Hampton, Mahalia Jackson, Etta James to Colorado Springs to sing at the Cotton Club. And then with her success, she was an amazing philanthropic woman who contributed to all kinds of incredible causes in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. And so it's a really inspiring story, and I was able to interview 11 of her former employees who are now in their 80s and 90s, and find her family who are still around. And so I put together, well, it was supposed to be a half hour, but I couldn't contain it. So I ended up creating, which I'm just putting the final touches on now, an hour long documentary about Fannie Mae Duncan. And that will debut on Rocky Mountain PBS on November 8th. It's a two-parter, so the 8th and the 15th, and then it'll be also for free online after that in perpetuity at rmpbs.org.
That is awesome. Well, Kate, our 30 minutes is up during this interview, and you are just as an amazing woman. And I want to thank you for being on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory. Where can people connect with you online now that they've heard some of your story and are hungry for more?
Oh, sure. Well, I have an Instagram account at KateySLVLS. So that's probably a good avenue. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you can connect with me on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Or the easiest way to connect with me is on my website, RoyceTalks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. And thank you, Kate, for being my guest. And one more Thank you to my sponsors, Pivot Business Consulting and Veru Virtual Assistance. It has been a pleasure hosting this show once again with my special guest, Kate Perdoni, and I hope you'll join us next time on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory.